it flows everywhere. Tasmin Makan Mukharita Madhubit Charitra. Madhubit Charitra means like Charitra, the pastimes of Madhubit, the Supreme Lord, the killer of the Madhu demon. So because Madhubit Charitra is used, Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for Charitra Shravan. And he talks about 64 items. One of the items is Shravanam. Shravanam he divides into Guna Shravanam, Nama Shravanam, and Charitra Shravanam. I think he quotes this verse for Charitra Shravanam. Charitra Shravanam, mostly for Charitra Shravanam. He quotes this Madhubit Charitra. And Piyusha Shesha Sarita Parita Shravanti. Piyusha Shesha. Shesha means what? Leftover. It is leftover. That means Piyusha Shesha. That means the devotees, the pure devotees have actually drunk the pastimes of the Lord. The remnants of the pure devotees is actually these pastimes. Like we are, let's say we are, there is a great fight between Mahaprasada. As soon as they would leave, immediately like 50 people gathered together to take Mahaprasada. But here it's explained, Piyusha Shesha means actually the Mahaprasada of the devotees, which emanates from the mouths of the saintly devotees, flow everywhere. So what is the Mahaprasada? That is the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord. So therefore, actually this verse tells that how one should be eager to hear, one should be eager to take this Mahaprasada of the devotee. Piyusha Shesha Sarita Parita Shravanti Taye Pivan Abhitrusha Dripagada Sarani. So what should be the attitude? So in that assembly, the profuse streams of the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord, it flows everywhere, emanating from the mouth of the pure devotees. Is equal, is actually nothing but the Mahaprasada of the devotees flows everywhere. So how should a person actually hear those pastimes? So Taye Pivan Abhitrusho. Abhitrusho means without being satiated. Abhitrusho Drupa Gada Karane. Vishnu Chakotapur is Abhitrusho means one should drink that nectar. Taye Pivan, one should drink that nectar. One is constant. Abhitrusho means one should drink that nectar. Constant thirst. And there is another quality. Nripa Gada Karane. Nripa Gada Karane means one with firm ears. Or one should make one's ears very sturdy. In the sense, what it means is that one should drink those pastimes with constant thirst and with a sturdy ear. That means not wanting to miss out even one drop of that nectar. With a firm ear, that means like with great attention, not wanting to give up, like miss out even one drop of that nectar. Refer God as currently. Then what is the result of that? That is explained in the last verse. Tanna Krishan Ashana Trid Vaya Shoka Moga. Tanna Krishan Ashana Trid Vaya Shoka Moga. Ashana Trid means hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst never touch such a person. Tanna Krishan. And what other results a person gets? Vaya Shoka Moga. A person becomes freed from fear, lamentation, and illusion.
Yasyam Vaishruyamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsam Shoka Moha Bayapaha. Usually lamentation is of the past, illusion is of the present, and fear is of the future. So one becomes freed from all these things. So it's a very beautiful verse. We can meditate upon that. And so Vishnu Chakotakur says, Mukharita means the topics which reside at all times in the mouths of the devotees. The topics of the Supreme Lord, they reside at all the times in the mouths of the devotees. So what does it mean? That means the devotees, they are never tired of actually speaking about Krishna. Like once one some Christian priest came to meet Srila Prabhupada somewhere in Australia or New Zealand. And Prabhupada was speaking to him for some time, and then the Christian priest was about to leave. So Prabhupada said, "Why are you leaving? I can speak for whole day about Krishna. Why are you don't have to leave?" So that means topics which are said at all times in the mouths of the devotees. Those who drink those rivers, not being able to neglect even a drop of those rivers, not being able to neglect even a drop of those rivers, thinking that it is never enough, with years made sturdy to prevent the nectar from flowing out. Such people cannot be touched by hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation or illusion. So they do not have a desire for eating, thinking, "Oh, where is my food today?" Because they have been fed by the devotees, so they are fearless, and they are not attached to anything. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as an example, he quotes this verse from Dhruva Maharaj's prayers. Tena smaranti atitaram priyamisha martyam ye chan vada suta sugrat griha vittadara sau yetvabja naba bhavadiya padaravinda sauganda lubda hridayeshu krita prasanga. So sauganda lubda hridayeshu, that means one who has actually tasted the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. That means those who have taken association with those hearts who have smelled the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. And when a person associates with such people, what is the here? What is the result? The result is that Yechan vada suta suhrat griha vitta daram tena smarant Atitaram priyamisha martyam yechanuda suta sugrat griha vittadara. The result is that a person becomes freed from these two attachments of me and mine. Means a person does not care for the very material body, and suta sugrat griha vittadara, a person does not also care for things or people who are related to the material body, the house, wife, sons and relatives, etc. So such people, they have no lamentation or illusion because they have forgotten all possessiveness. So in the Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about the different, stages of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. So when he talks about the stage of Ruchi, Ruchi means taste. So for that he says, the stage of taste has got, there are two symptoms of the stage of taste. The first symptom is that, he says that there are two primary symptoms of the stage of taste. There are some secondary symptoms, but the primary symptoms are, all impediments to chanting and hearing, such as fatigue and hunger, are no longer visible. And the second stage of taste is that an insatiable appetite for even seemingly insignificant devotional practices awakens. Insatiable appetite for even seemingly insignificant devotional practices, something like some service which is not in the forefront, which is not something like insignificant service. A person is eager even to do even such an insignificant service. These are the two symptoms of the two primary symptoms of the stage of Ruchi. And the first symptom is that all the impediments to hearing and chanting in the form of hunger and thirst, they are no longer visible. Hunger, thirst or becoming tired, etc. These symptoms are no longer visible. And the second symptom is that a person has an insatiable appetite. That means like an insatiable appetite for even an insignificant devotional activity. Insignificant devotional activity. The sense, suppose, something very simple activity, something like, suppose, crowd guy, just prasadam serving, something like that, some cleaning, brooming, some insignificant services. They are not like, such services are not something, they don't come in the forefront. But when a person has desire for even those insignificant services, that is actually a symptom of taste. Madhurya Kadambini. So, for the first symptom, for the first primary symptom, this verse is quoted. For the first primary symptom, that a person becomes freed from all the obstacles in the form of hunger and thirst. So, for that, Vishnu Chakravarti quotes this particular verse. Tasmin Makan Mukarita Madhubi Charitra. Because the last line it is explained that Tana Sprishan Ashanathrid. Ashanathrid, a person becomes freed from hunger and thirst. So he says that devotees at the stage of Ruchi are so absorbed in the taste of the devotional practices that while chanting and hearing about Krishna, they sometimes lose track of who they are. So when we lose track, the extent that identification is that we get affected by hunger and thirst, but the person loses track of that, then there is no longer that identification. Just like the example of King Kulashekar, he wanted to fight after Ravan when he was hearing the Ramayana, Sita was kidnapped by Ravan. Or that Brahmana who was met by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Madurai, that Brahmana was morose condition. He called Mahaprabhu for his lunch, but he did not cook prasadam. He felt, he was morose, thinking that Sita was touched by Ravan. And he was in such a sorry state that he did not actually cook. It's like he forgot, they lost track of I-ness and minus. As I mentioned that this verse is quoted by Rupa Goswami for Charitra Shravan, hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So next verse.
Yetair upadrato nityam jiva loka svabhavajai nakaroti hare nunam katamrita nidauratim. Because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So then in this verse he says, those who are constantly disturbed by hunger and thirst, they cannot actually develop attachment to hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Such people have very little time to cultivate attachment. So those who are constantly disturbed by habitual hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation and illusion can never develop attraction for the ocean of the nectar of topics concerning the Lord. Kata Amruta Nidau Ratim. So here Vishnu Chakravarti writes, bhakti will rarely blossom in those afflicted by hunger, thirst and fear. Why? Because they lack absorption in the rasa. And what is the cause of that lack of absorption in rasa? It is caused by habitual lack of enthusiasm for thinking about topics of the Lord. Due to lack of devotee association. So such a beautiful purport. He is saying that sometimes we develop, cultivate an habit of sometimes like Bhagavatam class. When we develop a habit of actually say inattentive chanting, or develop a habit of not working, not trying to be attentive while hearing or while chanting. We just like we say chalta hai attitude, like just when you develop the habit of like that, then such people cannot develop attraction for hearing and chanting. And one of the reason for why a person lacks that enthusiasm, because lack of devotee association. Lack of devotee association. So you can imagine, like, you can experience, suppose, chanting 64 rounds alone, and chanting 64 rounds together with a devotee. One devotee was saying that, that many people, they say, we can't chant about so many rounds, extra rounds. But then, like Anand Vrindavan Rao was saying, but when devotees, when they come together to the house, they just sit for hours together, and they don't find how they are able to chant so many rounds. Means like the association of serious devotees who are actually wanting to chant more rounds, that actually pulls even those people who are not, wouldn't have the enthusiasm to actually to develop that enthusiasm. So caused by habitual lack of enthusiasm. So Prabhupada is writing here, unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjan bhajan in a solitary place is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So then he says, when such a neophyte goes to a solitary place to perform nirjan bhajan, he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, and then what will he do? He becomes a sahajiya and performs sense gratification. Such persons in the name of devotional activities are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. So here Prabhupada is explaining two symptoms of a sahajiya. One symptom of sahajiya is that they do not like to associate with advanced devotees. They do not like the association of advanced devotees. And second symptom is that they are addicted to sinful activities. These are the two symptoms of sahajiyas. So therefore, in other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. So we see that we have to always meditate on the great fortune of the association of the devotees. In one class I was hearing from Gaurang Prabhu, I was mentioning that in the Ramayana, like Bharat Maharaj was misunderstood by many people at the funeral of his father. Because they felt when Bharat Maharaj came back, the funeral of his father, they felt that, oh, Bharat, he is the cause. He only actually, he wanted to become the king, and then Lord Ram had to be banished. And then, so that's why his father died. So many people, even sages also misunderstood Bharat Maharaj. So it was mentioned, what was the reason that Bharat Maharaj was misunderstood by many people at the funeral of his father? Because he left the association of Lord Ram immediately after the marriage. So I just heard in a class that he left the association of Lord Ram when he left the marriage. So in that sense, so when we, of course, these are all one sense leelas of the Lord, but then we can take that lesson when we actually don't give, when we don't actually value the association of the Supreme Lord or the devotees, then we get some particular reaction. When a person leaves the association of devotees, does not value it, then a particular reaction comes in the form of maybe being misunderstood by other people. So Raghunath Das Goswami says that without association of devotees, Govardhan appears like a big python and Radhakund appears like a Narakakund. That he mentions in composition. So next verse, 42 to 44.
प्रजापतिपति साक्षात् भगवान् गिरिशो मनुः दक्षादय प्रजाध्यक्षा नैष्टिका सनकादयः मरीचिरत्यङ्गिरसौ पुलस्त्य पुलः क्रतुः भृगुर्वसिष्ठ इत्येते मदन्ता ब्रह्मवादिनः अद्यापि वाचस्पतयस्तपो विद्यासमाधिभिः पश्यन्तोऽपि न पश्यन्ति पश्यन्तम् परमेश्वरम्
In the 11th canto, there are definitions of Uttama Bhagavat given, you know, many shlokas are given. So, in one of the shlokas, he says, Dehendriya Prana Manodhyamyo, that one verse begins. You know? That verse also talks something similar. It talks about how one who is Uttama Bhagavat is not afflicted by the bodily demands, namely sleep or hunger or thirst or, you know, diseases and such kind of things. It's free from that. Elsewhere, Brahma's prayers, also Brahma says, we were reading earlier, one of the prayers
the
came.
Third canto.
There also he says that in advanced devotees, they are not afflicted. Two things he says. One is the bodily demands, like the hunger, thirst and other things. And another one is, the speculators have a splitting mind. You know, they have a splitting mind and they cannot get good sleep also. You know, they cannot get sleep and because they are constantly plan making their mind. So they can. So these kind of things are said in many places. The Bhagavatam, you know, here also we. So my question was this, Prabhu, that when there is something pertaining to the body also. Like if you see, certain people are fat amongst devotees, but they don't eat so badly. That is because their father is fat, they also become very fat. So one purport we read, Prabhupada said, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami very strongly criticized fat is able. Poor fellows, they don't eat also.
Some people's metabolism are like that actually. Like Yamuna Masaji, Bhukshva Swami, she would eat very little. And then her body's metabolism was like that. Like
who?
Yamuna Masaji. Like she would eat very little, but her body was made in such a way that... Like they appear very fat.
Appear very fat. Like that. So that's what my question was when I read such a section. Similarly, in the bodies of Vaishnavas are also coming from Kapha, Vata, Pitta, different kinds of combinations. So some of them have sleep problems.
Yes,
some of them have eating problem. Eating a lot. Some of them have different diseases also in the body. So my question was, why while defining a Uttama Bhagavat, this kind of bodily qualifications are also prescribed? That was my question. Because the body is actually a precipitate of the Purva Aprarabdha Karma, which comes out as Prarabdha Karma, you know. And also the mother-father union, at the time of union, whatever consciousness they had, accordingly our material bodies are produced. You know, that is, there is one verse in the NOD which says, even the people born in low caste can also rise early in the morning and they can do some. Like that NOD says. So when it comes to the 64 devotional limbs, you know, people even born in Chandala family can do that also. So why some importance is attached to the body? That was my question. Because these are all bodily demands. It is understandable that a devotee's enthusiasm, you know, is the highlight. Devotee's enthusiasm is the highlight, it's understandable. Another connected question I had was, like here it says about hunger, thirst and all, he transcends and he only wants to cultivate attachment to hearing. In a society like ours, there's the elaborate arrangement for eating. Like pizza, pasta, you know, all kinds of varieties of items. You know, nowadays even cold drinks are also there. In dhams also, defined like that. And there's a very elaborate arrangement. Not only that, when I read this Chakravarti Thakur's point about, you know, how their mouths are decorated only with talks about the Lord, and that too it's always, you know, even for a moment also. So generally the devotees talk quite a bit about, you know, eating, sleeping, health related things. So those kind of things occupy the consciousness as well as the time of devotees. And there is very little talk about, direct talk about Krishna. in a Krishnagata kind of class, even in a devotional society like ours. So my question was, if Bhagavatam talks so much about this in many places, so your devotional society should also make in Chaitanya Charitamrita, some people argue that, you know, Mahaprabhu himself had varieties of prasadam discussions in CC. Mm-hmm. When I come to CC, I'll get to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that there are a lot of items mentioned of
mm-hmm.
how to cook and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So some devotees show hand to that. Mm-hmm. And they say, no, don't be a Mayavadi or something,
mm-hmm.
Mahaprabhu himself ate all these varieties of items and everything. So sometimes I get confused about when I get this question. Can you little bit explain about it?
The last part is
the hunger, thirst, and attractions, all these things should be controlled, and exclusive hearing should be done.
Uh-huh.
But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find Vaishnavas did both.
Uh-huh.
They were also very enthusiastic for hearing,
mm-hmm.
and they were also anxious for eating varieties of uh-huh. items also. And in our society, the eating has gone beyond limits.
Uh-huh.
And Ekadashi day, the kind of prasad they make, mm-hmm. even on ordinary days, you don't get.
Uh-huh.
Like that. Right. So two questions I've asked you. One is regarding this one, and the first one was regarding being fat or regarding the body being kapavata pitta, that demands of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Because is it connected? Like we have seen people who are very thin fellows but eat like anything. You can see. And fat people, they don't eat so much. And in the same manner also we can find that some Jain people, they do 270 days out of 365 days fasting.
Uh-huh.
I heard that alternate days they fast, and they have to fast like that for 270 alternate days.
Mm.
They have to fast in their lifetime. They have some prescription.
Mm.
So they will beat us in the fasting and everything and all. No.
Mm.
But they don't have taste for hearing the katha of the Lord. So this kind of question.
Yes.
Mm. I think the first point, like what comes to your mind is, definitely the sense we should not judge the devotees externally. Sometimes a devotee may be like genuinely very enthusiastic, but he may be feeling sleepy, or he may be struggling with in the bodily platform, he may be having a different problem. So in fact, I remember in one that 14th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says that ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvata vartamanopi nasabhuyo abhijayate. So Krishna says that one who actually knows this ya evam veti purusham, one who knows this purusha, prakriti, and the three modes of material nature, prakritim cha gunai saha, then such a person sarvata vartamanopi nasabhuyo abhijayate. Such a person nasabhuyo abhijayate, he does not take birth again, regardless of sarvata vartamanopi, regardless of the present conditions. Something like that he translates. So that Vishnu Chakravartako writes in that purport that he tells the point that sometimes a devotee may be disturbed by sleep, or he may be dozing off during the practice of devotional service, etc. But as long as if a person is fixed in this sambandha gyan, what prakriti, purusha and guna, even if sometimes a devotee is overcome on the bodily platform because of the different this one, then still he will nasabhuyo abhijayate, like that he mentions that. So in that sense, one has to see for that primary quality of that devotee's actually sincerity, definitely. But still, sometimes we can actually use that to actually justify our own this one. Oh, I am actually feeling very feeling very sleepy, or something. We may say, oh, see my sincerity, why are you actually seeing that? Something. One might use it to justify one's own this one. So therefore, these verses are also given about these are the symptoms of a person in the liberated platform, these are the symptoms of a person in the stage of taste, to actually, so that we can introspect how we have not achieved that state. At the same time, we have to, when we see other devotees, we should not judge. We have to look for that primary symptom of that enthusiasm and that commitment the sincerity to practice devotional service. Although they may, on external platform sometimes, like Prabhupada told about Jayanand Prabhu. Jayanand Prabhu was sleeping in the class and then somebody was trying to wake him up. Prabhupada said, no, just let him sleep. He knows something like he mentioned. Like that. So Prabhupada definitely looked for the sincerity of his surrender. But at the same time, in our case, we can use it to justify so that we know that these are the symptoms of real taste, or we have not achieved that taste, we can become humble for that. And regarding this, like the Chaitanya Charitam, the description of so much of prasadam, etc. In one class, Shyamananda was explaining, like in the Chaitanya Charitam, when the devotees would take prasadam, just by the fact that when they would know that, oh, this bhoga has been tasted by Krishna, just by that, their bellies would be completely full. Whatever they did rest of the time, whatever they did after that was a detail, actually. It's like they were actually completely full just by the fact that their bellies were complete. This food has been tasted by Krishna. That, oh, Krishna has enjoyed this food. So by that itself, they are completely satisfied. And then the rest of the thing was a detail. Oh, they would eat some 10 men would eat, 20 men would eat, etc. Then Maharaj also explained, like, when we read actually scriptures, like when we talk about this half hen logic, accepting one part of the hen and rejecting the other part of the hen. So the same, this thing can be applied even with respect to following the actions of the devotees. So Maharaj was explaining that, well, these devotees, they ate so much of prasadam, but they also performed kirtan for hours together. They also performed prasadam serving. They were enthusiastic about all aspects of Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, we cannot justify our, oh, we want to have varieties of prasadam, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned like that. So we have to follow the other aspects of the devotees also. So this 42nd to 44th verse, actually in one sense 42nd to 45th verse, these four verses, the theme of these four verses is that Narada Muni is saying, Jnanis and those who know the vast meanings of the Vedas and the worshippers of the different demigods, all these people cannot understand the Lord. Those who are simply jnanis, and those who know the vast meanings of the Vedas, and those who are worshippers of different demigods, they cannot understand the Lord. So especially in the 42nd to 44th verse, Narada Muni gives a list of personalities. Prajapati Pati, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Bhagavan, Ishwara, Swayambhu Manu, Daksha and others, and the Naishtika Brahmacharis like the four Kumaras, the sages like Marichi, Atri, Angirarasi, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrugu, Vasishta, etc. And myself. Usually the devotee puts his own name at the end. Mad Anta. All of us, we are Brahma Vadina. We are speakers on Vedic literature. Vachas Pataya. We are masters of speaking. And we are expert in austerity, knowledge, and samadhi bihi. We are expert in meditation. But still, Pashyanto api na pashyanti pashyantam parameshwaram. Pashyanto api na pashyanti. That means, what he is saying is that, still, we cannot actually reflect upon the Supreme Lord by austerity, knowledge and construction. Knowledge and concentration. We cannot see the Lord who sees everything. Pashyanto api na pashyanti. Although we are expert in meditation, etc., but we don't see the Lord. Na pashyanti. We do not observe that Supreme Lord, Parameshwaram, who sees everything. Pashyantam. So So what Narada Muni is saying, all of us, we have got so many qualifications, but still we do not see the Supreme Lord who sees everything. So this is a very important verse. So in this verse, if you see Prabhupada in the purport, he gives five qualities of all these personalities. First quality mentions that all these personalities, they performed great austerities. And second quality is that they are authorities of Vedic knowledge. He says that Vedic knowledge is, they are authorities of Vedic knowledge, which is the perfect knowledge for all human beings and all living entities. The second quality, authorities of Vedic knowledge. And third quality is that all these personalities are cognizant of past, present and future. They are Trikalajna. And fourth quality is that they are all devotees. Of course, Prabhupada is actually including this word, devotees. But when Narada Muni is speaking, this verse, he is saying that actually we are all only jnanis because we don't have devotion, so therefore we don't understand the law. Prabhupada is including the purport. They are all devotees. And fifth quality is that all these personalities have met the personality of Godhead personally. And then after mentioning these five qualities, then Prabhupada explains, but still they cannot factually understand the perfection of the living entity's relationship with Lord Vishnu. Or in other words, they are limited as far as knowledge of the unlimited is concerned. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes a very beautiful point. Just like a, especially like for preachers, like one has to meditate upon this point. So Vishnu Chakravarti first explains. He says that in these four verses, Narada Muni is expressing that the jnanis never know the Supreme Lord because they do not have bhakti for the Lord. And he explains this with the use of Kaimuttika Nyaya. He says that because he is giving a list of people, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Swayambhu Manu, all these sages and I myself, all of us, we do not know the Supreme Lord, then what then to speak of others? This is Kaimuttika Nyaya. Kaimuttika Nyaya means like, if we are so great, we great people, if we do not know the Lord, then what then to speak of others? So using Kaimuttika Nyaya, he is saying that jnanis never know the Lord. So he explains that I criticize not only these people, but myself also. Why I am criticizing all these people and myself? Because we try to see him, we try to see the Supreme Lord by tapo, vidya and samadhi, by austerity, knowledge and meditation, and we do not use bhakti. So this is like, we can say, usually one should not criticize the devotees, but here all these other people are devotees only, but Narada Muni is criticizing even these devotees. But not because he is having some hatred towards his devotees. In order to establish the supreme position of bhakti, he is actually apparently criticizing these devotees. He is saying, I criticize not only these people, but myself also. Why? Because we try to seek him by austerity, knowledge and meditation, and we do not use bhakti. And then he explains, but though they are actually all famous as devotees, here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is actually linking the point. He is saying that actually all these people are devotees, but still they express themselves as very fallen without bhakti. They actually have bhakti, but Narada Muni is expressing as if like they are, we all don't have bhakti. So then Narada Muni says, this is the most important point. He says that we are all expert at teaching the meaning of the scriptures to others, but we ourselves do not know the actual meaning of the scriptures, since we do not have bhakti. Vachaspataya means, we are expert in teaching of the meaning of the scriptures to others, but we ourselves do not know the meaning of the scriptures because we do not have bhakti. So this is something when I read previously, it struck me very much. So then he says, in fact he says that, even today, indicates that they are expert at austerities, knowledge and meditation. They reflect on the Supreme Lord, Pashyantu. Pashyantu means they reflect on the Supreme Lord, but although they reflect upon the Supreme Lord, na Pashyanti, they do not see Him. This means that they do not know Him. This is a very beautiful point. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, another two more, I already mentioned five qualities which of these personalities which Prabhupada mentions. But other points which Prabhupada mentions in the purport is that he refutes again the Darwin's theory. So again, according to Darwin's theory, that previously Homo sapiens had not appeared, and now only human beings, after being evolved, we appeared. But actually, according to Vedic literatures, human histories, there are actually, in the beginning, there was a most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma. And from him emanated so many great personalities like Lord Shiva, Manu, and so many sages. In this way, he refutes the Darwin theory. And then, he also explains in the later part of the purport, in the last paragraph. So, he explains that all these sages, Angira Rishi, Kratu, Vasishtha, etc., all these sages, they have their own planets near Brahmaloka. They have their own planets near Brahmaloka. And they reside in different stars known as southern stars, which circle the pole star. Saptarishi planet near the Dhruvaloka planet. Here he mentions again a Western theory. According to Western theory, all the stars are small suns. But according to the Vedic theory, there is only one sun in the universe. All the stars are different planets. So you see, like Prabhupada, we have to see wherever there is an opportunity, is not only presenting devotional service. Wherever there is an opportunity, he tries to actually break the faith of the people in the science. Because, like sometimes we are practicing devotional service, but at the same time, we have our attachment to the modern saints and we have our attachment to the modern ways of living. We have accepted Krishna consciousness, but at the same time we are following the Western system. So Prabhupada is side by side, because unless we remove that attachment to the other, this one, that progress may not happen properly. So that's what Prabhupada is, wherever there is an opportunity, he tries to refute the Western theory, etc. And Prabhupada explained that all the so-called stars are different planets, and besides this universe, there are many millions of other universes, and each of them contains similar innumerable stars and planets. So you see, why actually, if you try to understand the psychology behind this Western theory, what the psychology is that Western theory is actually geocentric. There is a big false ego associated with this theory. And I say, what is the actually, why are you refuting this Western theory? Just leave that theory as it is. Just concentrate on Krishna consciousness, may say life. But actually, Western theory, they have a geocentric conception. That means only Earth is the center of the universe. Only in the Earth, there are people are there. And other places, there are no living entities. They have converted all the stars into suns. There are no living entities there. So only in the Earth, there is a ego of only, we are actually the greatest. We are the most evolved people. But Prabhupada is trying to make them insignificant. Don't think that only in the Earth living entities are there. All these stars are different planets, and where there are much more evolved living entities, advanced living entities are there. And not only that, and there are millions of such universes, and there are millions of other planets. So Prabhupada is trying to drive the point how we are so insignificant. But the Western theory is trying to drive us the point we are the most superior by the geocentric theory. So one has to actually catch that point. So like in one article I was reading. So here Prabhupada is Narada Muni is saying, all of us, we know so much of scriptures, we teach the meaning of the scriptures, but still we do not know the Supreme Lord. So when Krishna explains that బహునాం జన్మనాం అంతే జ్ఞానవాన్మాం ప్రపద్యతే. సో వాసుదేవ సర్వమితి స మహాత్మా సుదుర్లభ. సో పీపుల్ థింక్ దట్ బై దర్ ఓన్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ దే కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద లార్డ్, దే కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ నో ఎవ్రీథింగ్. బట్ వన్ షుడ్ యాక్చువల్లీ హ్యావ్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ టు డౌట్ ద సుప్రీమసీ ఆఫ్ అవర్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. రియల్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ మీన్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు యాక్చువల్లీ when a person is considered to be highly intelligent, when a person understands the limitations of his own intelligence, then he actually comes to the point that of his perfection of his intelligence. When you understand the limitations of our own intelligence, when we doubt the supremacy of our intelligence and we recognize the supreme nature of Krishna's intelligence and when we surrender to him, then we come to the perfect stage of our intelligence. So therefore, so we have to use our intelligence. Krishna definitely wants us to use our intelligence, but we have to use our intelligence not just properly but perfectly. So what is the meaning of the word, like when we using the intelligence perfectly? Using the intelligence perfectly means to understand the limitation, to recognize the limitation of our intelligence, that it is not good enough to be omniscient. So therefore, like one article I was reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was explaining that it requires extraordinary intelligence to recognize the limits of our intelligence. And those people who are extraordinarily intelligent and those who have recognized the limits of their intelligence, and what do they do? Jnanavan mam prapadyate. They actually surrender to Krishna. That means, like, ultimately such people, they give their heart to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada quotes this Brahmaji's prayers also, that only one who has been favored by the Supreme Lord, such a person, he actually can know the truth of the Supreme Lord in properly. Jnanati tattvam bhagavan mahimnu. So we'll go to the next verse. Shabda brahmani dushpare charanta uru vistare mantra lingair vyavachinnam bhajanto na viduparam.
Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods with symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the supreme powerful personality of Godhead.
So in this verse, Narada Muni says, Shabda Brahmani Dushpare. Continuing the same thing, those who know the vast meanings of the Vedas, Dushpare means unlimited meanings of the Vedas, Charanta Uru Vistare, which is like greatly expansive, and such people, and there are another kind of people, mantra lingais vyavachinnam bhajanto. Those who worship perfectly the demigods, who have actually different mantra lingai vyavachinnam means the demigods are represented by different symbols, and those who perfectly worship the different demigods, such people na vidu param, they do not know the supreme. They do not know the supreme. So you see that those who study the Vedas vast in meaning and words, Vishnu Chakravarti says that first of all, it is from the point of the number of the words, there are vast in the number of the words, and each word has many different meanings, and those who know the vast meaning and words, and those who worship the devatas distinguished by typical markings and mantras, mantra and lingai, typical markings, lingai means markings and mantras, such people na viduparam, they do not know the supreme lord. So a similar verse, I forget the source of this verse, but I read in one of the Krishna Kathamrita Bindu, it's explained that అనేక శాస్త్రం బహు వేదితవ్యం అల్పశ్చ కాల భగవశ్చ విఘ్న తత్సారభూతం ఉపాసితవ్యం.
అనేక శాస్త్రం, అనేక శాస్త్రం మీన్స్ దర్ ఆర్ మెనీ మెనీ స్క్రిప్చర్స్, బహు వేదితవ్యం, అండ్ ఈచ్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ ఇన్ దో స్క్రిప్చర్స్ హ్యాస్ దే హ్యావ్ గాట్ మెనీ మెనీ మీనింగ్స్, బహు వేదితవ్యం. అండ్ దెన్ అల్పస్య కాల, బట్ ద టైమ్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఇస్ వెరీ లిమిటెడ్ అండ్ భగవత్య విఘ్న, నాట్ ఓన్లీ ద టైమ్ ఇస్ లిమిటెడ్ దర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ డిస్ట్రాక్షన్స్ భగవత్య విఘ్న. సో దెన్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద సొల్యూషన్? తత్ సారభూతం ఉపాసితవ్యం. జస్ట్ టేక్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ వర్షిప్ దట్ ఎసెన్స్, దట్ వర్షిప్ దట్ ఎసెన్స్. సో విల్ గో టు ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్. యదా యస్యాను గృహ్ణాతి భగవాన్ ఆత్మ భావితః సజహాతి మతిం లోకే వేదే చ పరినిష్ఠితాం.
When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee give up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas.
So now in this verse, Narada Muni is saying, who can actually understand the Lord? So this is a very important verse. It's a long purport to this verse. Who can actually understand the Lord? యదా యస్య అనుగృహ్ణాతి, వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఫేవర్డ్ బై ద లార్డ్ కెన్ యాక్చువల్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద లార్డ్. అండ్ హూమ్ డస్ ద లార్డ్ ఫేవర్? భగవాన్ ఆత్మభావిత. ఆత్మభావిత మీన్స్ ప్రభుపాద్ సేస్ దట్ ప్రభుపాద్ గోస్ టూ మీనింగ్స్. వన్ మీనింగ్ ఇస్ దట్ విల్ డిస్కస్ దట్ టూ మీనింగ్స్ బేసిక్లీ, వన్ హూ ఇస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఫేవర్ సచ్ ఎ డివోటీ. And then when a person is favored by the Lord, what does that person do? What is the attitude of such person towards karma kanda and jnana kanda? Such a person gives the karma kanda and jnana kanda. That is the third and fourth line. Sa jahati matim loke vedeche parinishtitam. Loke vedeche parinishtitam. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that such a person gives up thinking of karma kanda and material efforts. లోకే రెఫర్స్ టు మెటీరియల్ ఎఫర్స్, మండేన్ ఎఫర్స్. వేదే రెఫర్స్ టు కర్మకాండ. సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ గివ్స్ అప్ కర్మకాండ అండ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎఫర్స్. అక్కడ నేను ప్రభుపాద్ పర్పోర్ట్ ఈ సేస్ దట్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ గివ్స్ ద రిచువల్సిక్ పర్ఫార్మ్ వేదాస్. సో ద విష్ణు చక్రతకు రైస్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్ ఈ రైసెస్ ద క్వశ్చన్, ఇఫ్ ద జ్ఞానీస్ అండ్ ద కర్మీస్ డు నాట్ నో ద లార్డ్. So in the last four verses that has been established that jnanis and karmis, they do not know the Lord. And the question is, who knows him? So then he says, yada yasyan grihanati, the devotee knows him. And how does he become a devotee, or by what qualities can a devotee be recognized? That is atma bhavita. A devotee is recognized because his devotion is in the Supreme Lord. That is the nature of a devotee. And what is the what else a devotee does? What does he pray to the Supreme Lord? The devotee prays in his mind, O Supreme Lord, please accept this person and deliver him from samsara. So when a devotee prays for another person, the Lord, out of his affection towards that devotee, then he actually makes that common people for whom the devotee is praying, the Lord shows mercy to that person, and that person becomes uninterested in karma kanda and jnana kanda. So that means, like, we have to remember that we have come to Krishna consciousness because some other devotee has prayed for us. So Prabhupada in the purport, in the 732nd page, He gives two meanings of the word Atma Bhavita. The first paragraph he explains, Atma Bhavita means one whose mind is constantly thinking of the Lord. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. Savai Mana Krishna Padavirindayo. Such a person cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord. So this is the first meaning he gives of Atma Bhavita. And then
The second meaning he gives in the same page in the next paragraph. Then he says the Atma Bhavita also means that devotee who is always engaged in preaching to other conditioned souls. So one meaning is that one who is always thinking about the Lord, and second meaning of Atma Bhavita is like one who is always putting effort to preach to other conditioned souls. And the example he gives is the six Goswamis. Saddharma Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipunav. Saddharma Samstapaka. So then he says, a pure devotee is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Lord, influenced by the merciful devotee's attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by His causeless mercy. So if a devotee is blessed by another devotee, then if a common person is blessed by another devotee, then that person becomes freed from karmakanda and jnanakanda activities. So this actually also establishes another important siddhanta, that what is the cause of bhakti? The mercy of the Madhyam Adhikari. The cause of bhakti is actually the mercy of the Madhyam Adhikari. Cause of bhakti is bhakti only. That the bhakti in the heart of the Madhyam Adhikari induces that Madhyam Adhikari to preach to other person. So therefore he prays to the Lord, and the Lord actually sees that, oh, because this particular devotee is concerned about this particular person, then the Lord actually bestows mercy to that person. So this establishes that siddhanta also.
The one who can preach the bhakti, not uttam or neither a neophyte. So many times, like we see those who are advanced, much advanced, they without their selfish consideration, they go out and preach, like Prabhupada. So many times I heard like someone
say,
if a uttam adhikari want to preach, he has to come to the medium level and then he can preach. So how to understand that?
There are two kinds of medium adhikaris. In the Uttamadhikari platform, a person cannot he does not feel the need to preach because he feels everyone is a devotee. Only Madhyamadhikari, he makes proper distinction, and Kanishtadhikari is actually just concerned with the deity and he doesn't want to preach, and he cannot make proper distinction also. But Madhyamadhikari has a proper distinction, and so he preaches. And there are two kinds of Madhyam Adhikaris. One is one who goes from the Kanishtha Adhikari to the Madhyam Adhikari level, and another is one who has come down from the Uttam Adhikari to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. These are two kinds of Madhyam Adhikaris. And how do we know whether this Madhyam Adhikari has gone from Kanishtha level or he has come down from the Uttam Adhikari platform? So that we can understand that by the power of his preaching. In the case of Prabhupada, he is the Uttam Adhikari who has come down to the Prathama Madhyam Adhikari for the sake of preaching. But for somebody else, he might have gone from the platform of Sadhaka, Kanishtha Adhikari, to the Madhyam Adhikari in preaching. And how do we know that this person is the first type or the second type? So that is by seeing the power of the sound vibration of that Madhyam Adhikari. In the case of, it's explained in the 11th canto purport, that the power of such a Madhyam Adhikari was counted for the Uttam Adhikari. Such a people, in a very short time, he is actually able to transform a person. He is quickly able to elevate a person, and he is able to reach out to affect a greater number of people, and he is able to quickly elevate a person. Usually, we try to preach after 2 years, 3 years, and then person comes to like 6 rounds, 8 rounds, like struggling. So that means we are not in that some uttam adhikari to madhyam adhikari platform. So but in the case of Prabhupada, just imagine the number of devotees he had made in the Western world in the past 10 years. So now practically there's hardly any preaching to the Westerners, only in certain places it is there. So it is so difficult actually. But Prabhupada, because in such a short time he made so many devotees and he was able to so quickly elevate them. So like that.
I wanted to ask, like, why does the like activity of preaching fall under the category of Madhyam Adhikari? Because like Krishna says, like, one who preaches to other is most dear out of many dear people who may be dear to Krishna because of various reasons. But one who preaches the my message is the most dear. So in that kind of consideration, one can understand like preaching must be falling in the category of Uttam. One who is like most dear is certainly an Uttam person. And he is preaching, so the preaching fall in the category of Uttam.
So that is why you see, a Uttam Adhikari, he understands the Krishna's heart, so therefore he comes over to the Madhyam Adhikari platform and preaches. You see, because preaching is the most dear activity, your point is that Madhyam Adhikari should be superior to Uttam Adhikari. You are saying like that.
I want to know why the preaching as an activity fall into the category of Madhyam Adhikari.
Because Madhyam Adhikari is the one who is able to distinguish, because in preaching we have to distinguish between who is envious and who is innocent. There has to be discrimination. Because in Uttam Adhikari platform there cannot be discrimination. He sees everyone as a devotee. So then there is no need of preaching. Then the need itself doesn't arise in him. That sense. He feels like that. So then Prabhupada explains in this purport. He says that he says enjoying according to the Vedic injunctions is also an illusion. The Vedic instructions guide people according to different regulative principles, and intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. But this is also illusion, so that one has to get out of this illusion. But to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. One's own endeavor is difficult. So therefore, when populace is engaged in material activities, and when people are little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is, so here, so I'll try to summarize what is mentioned in this purport is that, so Prabhupada explains that enjoying according to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies is also illusion. So therefore, one has to get out of this illusion. But even to get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is also difficult. And then he explains that he says that when people become attracted to ritualistic ceremonies, so they are trying to enjoy sense gratification in a pious way. But then because although they are trying to enjoy in a pious way, because they are attached to sense gratification, they may actually then degrade to a mundane platform also. He says that such people, sometimes they may become frustrated in the ritualistic ceremonies, and then such people again comes to the material activities. So that means even pious sense gratification is also not a safe platform, because that is not the real platform. One may become frustrated and then we can actually again go down to the animalistic platform. And in this way, both the followers of Vedic rituals and followers of material activities are entangled in conditional life. So therefore, one can come out of this cycle only when a person gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So I'll mention one more point and then we'll take your question. So then, in the next paragraph, it's a very important point. Then Prabhupada explains that a sincere devotee is always helped by the super soul who resides within the heart of every living entity. Tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. And then he explains that when a person is helped by the super soul, this is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. And at such a time, a devotee makes friendship with another devotee and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. So this statement is important. He is saying that when a person is actually becoming freed from the contamination of material world, that means like when a person is advancing in Krishna consciousness, that time, at such a time, a devotee feels the need to take friend, to make friendship with other devotees. So sometimes we think that maybe when a person advances, that time we don't need the association of friendship of other devotees. So when a person is advancing, that time a person feels more and more the need to actually develop friendship with other devotees. Just like when a person is going high in the sky, more and more a person feels the need of oxygen. The more a person feels the need of oxygen. So similarly, the more a person advances in Krishna consciousness, the more a person feels the need of the blessings of the other devotees, the more a person feels the need of friendship and association of other devotees. So then, so Prabhupada explains that, he concludes by saying that, at that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma, and which is the most exalted system of human civilization. So although Varnashram Dharma is the most exalted system of human civilization, but when a person comes to the higher stage, he no longer identifies himself with any of the Varna or Ashram. And he concludes by that famous verse of Mahaprabhu, Nagam Vipro Nachanarapati Napi Vaishwana Shudra. Yeah, what is your point?
Huh. Other living entities praying for other souls. So always I think that as Prabhupada described, the struggle for existence, the non-devotees, the material world, people that struggle for existence. So it seems we are neophyte sadhakas, we are in struggle for beginning in the path of devotional service, struggling with our unearthers, fighting with them. So how is it possible that we are also like the materialistic person, they are always self-centered, selfish, they are thinking about themselves. So many times we are also thinking, especially I, that always thinking about myself, how to struggle with my unearthers, how to conquer them and how to fight with them, go on. So we don't have the impetus or don't have the chance to feel compassionate for other living entities, pray for them. So how to develop that our skill?
We have to actually, at this stage, we have to consider preaching as a sadhana. So unless we actually come to develop that mood, because anything, any service or any activity in the initial, when you take up the service, initially there is exciting. And after some time, there will be a challenge to continue that service actually. So just like 16 rounds is something like, whether I feel like or don't feel like, I have to chant. So similarly, at this stage, we may not have that compassion, but we have to at least try to adapt to that principle of doing it as a sadhana, that whether I like or don't like, I'll keep on going. Because after some time, mind gives so many excuses, oh, just relax. That also becomes sometimes, especially, while going to meet the same people, sometimes when we are trying to, reaching the same people, and they are stuck in the same stage, and we feel a little irritated, why are they not putting some effort? But we have to go on actually, because, so we have to adapt the mood of sadhana. So we'll go to the next verse.
तस्मात् कर्मसु बर्हिष्मन् अज्ञानात् अर्थकाशिषु मार्त दृष्टिं कृताश्रोत्र स्पर्शिप अस्पृष्ट वस्तुषु.
माय डियर किंग वरिष्मान, यू शुड नेवर आउट ऑफ इग्नोरेंस टेक टू द वैदिक रिचुअल्स और टू फ्यूटिव एक्टिविटी व्हिच मे बी प्लेजिंग टू हियर अबाउट और व्हिच मे अपीयर टू बी द गोल ऑफ सेल्फ इंटरेस्ट. यू शुड नेवर टेक दिस टू बी द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ.
So he is giving a direct instruction, just give up all karmakanda sacrifices which appear attractive. So which appear attractive. Tasmat karmasu barhishman agyanat artha kashishu. Agyanat, therefore out of ignorance, never make your ultimate goal of life the prescribed karmas. Never make your ultimate goal of life the prescribed karmas which appear to be legitimate goals and which are pleasing to hear about. Shrotra sparshishu means which are pleasing to the ear, and artha drishti means do not make them as the goal of life, artha drishti, and artha kashishu means these goals appear to be legitimate goals. Ma artha kashishu, ma artha drishti means do not make as a goal of life which appears to be, which are pleasing to the hear, shrotra sparshishu, and artha kashishu, which appear to be legitimate goals. But actually what is the nature of that? Asprishta vastushu. Asprishta means they do not actually touch the real substance. They are not really substantial vastu. They are, it did not produce substantial results. So this is again a very beautiful purport. So Prabhupada quotes the second chapter, Yami Mam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti Avipashchitaha Veda Vada Rata Partha Nanyat Astiti Vadunaha Kamatmana Swargapara Janma Karma Phala Pradam Kriya Vishesha Bagulam Bogeshwarya Gadim Prati. Like those who are attach the flowery words of the Vedas. Like Ramanujacharya explains here, the ignorant people whose knowledge is little, such people, they have their sole aim the attainment of enjoyment and power. And such people, they speak the flowery language, Pushpitam Vacham. So flowery language means that they speak the flowery language having its flowers only as fruits. That means they do not actually produce any fruits. Their only flowers are the fruits. That means they only speak some good language. They do not produce fruits in the sense that they do not produce any substantial fruits. So having its flowers only as fruits and which look apparently beautiful at first sight. So in other words, these people who are called as Veda Vada Ratha. So they rejoice in the letter of the Vedas. So they consider the main substance of the Vedas is performing this Karmakanda sacrifice. That is not the main substance of the Vedas. Just like one devotee was saying that his relatives came to meet him in the temple, and then later they went back and then they were telling him that, oh, we came to your temple, it was so nice. Oh, that teak wood and that carving was really good. And that particular... so they were appreciating so many things in the temple except about, so what nice kirtan or what nice deities or what a class or something. So that means like they consider the main thing in the temple is some teak wood carving, etc. Like, of course, at least they are appreciating that. That's a good thing. But the point is that the main thing is that, oh, Krishna Kathar, Krishna Kirtan, oh, these people are presenting the nice philosophy, oh, such beautiful deities, like that. So these Vedavadarathas, they appreciate the side thing as the main thing. The side part of the Vedas is Karmakanda sacrifice, that is secondary, and they make that as the main thing. So they rejoice in the letter of the Vedas. They are attracted to the heaven and such other results. And they say that Nanyat Astiti Vadinaha, there is nothing other than
these karmakanda sacrifices in the Vedas. So why they come to such a conclusion? Because of their intense attachment to these results. They have an intense attachment to go to heavenly planets. So because of that, they come to this conclusion. So such people, they do not, that's why Krishna says that, Bhogeshwarya prasaktanam taya apakrita chesasam yavasayatmika buddhi samadhoni. In such people, the resolute determination for Krishna consciousness does not take place. So here, in this purport, so one is actually, Narada Muni is condemning about the karmakanda sacrifices. Speak of the flowery language in the Vedas. So Prabhupada is bringing the whole concept to the modern context. So Prabhupada says that Narada Muni is saying that don't be interested in the temporary benefits of this karmakanda sacrifices. So Prabhupada says, in modern civilization, people are very much interested in exploiting the resources of material nature through the methods of science. So in the Vedic culture, people were like enamored by this karmakanda sacrifices and the results of the karmakanda sacrifices. Oh, we can go to heavenly planets, etc. But in the modern culture, people are enamored by the scientific advancement. Oh, what a technology, what a smartphone, what a... We are actually enamored by the scientific advancement. And we are enamored by the technical education and other things. So Prabhupada says, although we are advancing according to such concocted methods, we are forgetting our real purpose. So Prabhupada says, quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan, Jada vidya yata mayara vaibhava tomara bhajane bada. Materialistic studies are the glare of maya only, for they are an obstacle to spiritual progress. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the last week, that from the point of view of a person in Kali Yuga, Prachina Bharisha is like a saintly person. Because at least he was attached to the karmakanda sacrifice, some Vedic way of sense gratification. But from the point of view of Narada Muni, Prachina Bharisha is like some materialist. So Prabhupada is, like when Narada Muni is condemning Prachina Bharisha, if you are only seeing that platform, you may think, oh, anyway, I am not doing karmakanda sacrifice. So anyway, I am not doing anything wrong. We may think like that. But Prabhupada is bringing that point to our level. He is saying that what it means to our level is that we are actually enamored by the materialistic education and modern scientific advancement. So then in the next purport, Prabhupada talks about those people who emphasize the karmakanda sacrifices. The Arya Samaj people, they say that, oh, the real purpose of Vedas is these sacrifices. They give too much stress on the sacrificial portion of the Vedas. This verse indicates, however, that such sacrifices are to be taken as illusory. So actually, if you see, when Krishna explains that was Bhogeshwarya Prasattanam, Taya apakrita chetasam. Taya apakrita chetasam. That means, when a person is attached to his bhoga and aishwarya, such people, not only they do not know the meaning of those karmakanda rituals, because if you see the karmakanda section of the Vedas, they only contain the Vedic rituals. Karmakanda rituals, they only contain the different, how to perform different sacrifices, different rituals. Karmakanda section, they do not contain any philosophical discussion. So those who are attached to karmakanda, this one, they are not interested in the philosophy. And not only they do not know any philosophy, they also do not want to know the meaning because the sense gratification dulls their philosophical acumen. So because these people, they are attached to sense gratification, they also do not want to know, because their philosophical acumen has been dulled by the attachment to sense gratification. And so we see nowadays,
even if we can see, seeing from the point of a modern education, people previously, Prabhupada was saying in one lecture, at least there were some thinkers and philosophers. But now, because if you see people who are coming from modern education, there are hardly any thinkers, hardly any philosophers. So people not only they do not know, but they also do not want to know also, because their philosophical acumen has been dulled by sense gratification. It has been dulled by the modern education. So then Prabhupada says the special advantage that explains, he tells about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay, next to us. Svam lokam na viduste vai yatra devo janardana agur dumradiyo vedam sakarmakam atat vidaha. So here Narada Muni is saying, what is the supreme and real activity? What is the supreme activity and what is the real activity? This 48th verse, na? Okay. Here Narada Muni is saying, those people who are foolish and who do not know the ultimate goal, and such people, they speak only in terms of this karmakanda rituals. So, svam lokam na vidustevai yatra devo janardanaha. Foolish people, they do not know the purpose of the Vedas is to understand one's own home where the Supreme Personality of Godhead lives. And such people, what are they interested? They are not being interested in the real home. They are illusion and search after other homes. Sa karmakam adat vidaha. The foolish people do not know the Lord's planet, Swam Lokam, the abode of the Supreme Lord, Navidu. They do not know the Lord's planet, where the Lord resides, Yatra Devo Janardanaha. And Atat Vidaka, not knowing the Vedas, they speak of the Vedas in terms of the prescribed karmas alone. Ahur Dumra Diyo Vedam Sa Karmakam Atat Vidaha. They do not know the abode of the Supreme Lord where the Lord lives, and not knowing the real purpose of the Vedas, they speak of the Vedas only in terms of the karmakanda rituals. So, so Prabhupada says that here, one should be interested in the information about the spiritual Vaikuntha planet, and in particular the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, and should learn the art of going there with a simple method of devotional service. So he says there is no information of the spiritual world, but our real home is Vaikuntha. So next verse. Astirya darbai prag agrai katsyena kshiti mandalam stabdo brukhatva dammani karma navaishi yatparam tat karma haritosham yat Savidya Tanmateriyaya.
My dear king, the entire world is covered with sharp points of pushagras, and on the strength of this you have become proud because you have killed various types of animals in sacrifices. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated to Krishna consciousness.
So here he says the supreme activity and the real activity is that of pleasing the Lord. And that is the real knowledge. Na karma tat karma haritosham yad Sa Vidya Tan Materyaya. So, Astirya Darbai, covering the whole earth with Kusha grass. With Kusha grass, with tips facing east, Prag Agrai. Katsyena Kshiti Mandalam. Astirya Darbai, Prag Agrai, Katsyena Kshiti Mandalam. Katsyena means covering the whole earth, Kshiti Mandalam, with the Kusha grass which are facing east. And Stabda Brihat Vadan Mani. Brihat Vadan Mani, by thinking yourself as a great sacrificer, because of Brihat Vadan, because of sacrificing animals, and misbehaving, and in this way, Karma Navaishi Yatparam. Karma Na Avaishi. You do not, because of this, you do not know the supreme activity, Yat Param. You do not know the supreme activity because you are thinking yourself to be a great sacrificer of animals. And what is the supreme activity? Tat karma haritosham yat. That supreme activity is that activity which pleases the Supreme Lord. And what is the supreme knowledge? Sa vidya tan matiryaya. That activity by which one concentrates, tan matiryaya, that is the supreme knowledge. Sa vidya, that is the knowledge. So here, Prabhupada in the purport, he gives a definition of sinful activity and false education. He says, any activity which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. He gives an absolute definition of sinful activity. Any activity which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education which does not lead to Krishna is false education. So you see that especially the modern education is such an education. If you read the Prabhupada's purports in the Isopanishad, the Prabhupada says the modern universities are centers of nescience. And he says that another place explains, in order to we are not expecting that, oh, you teach Srimad Bhagavatam in the school or something. We are expecting at least you teach good culture, good values, and you at least teach in such a way that people have faith in the scriptures. So Prabhupada writes in that purport in the Isopanishad, people from modern universities, they do not have good culture, the sense that they don't have cleanliness, there is no concept of practicing celibacy, and they don't have respect towards the superiors, from culture points he is saying. And he says from the point of view of scriptures, they do not have faith in the scriptures. So in that sense, what the modern education is doing is, it is doing the exactly opposite purpose of education. The real purpose of education is to bring out that which is within. To bring out that which is within is actually Krishna consciousness. In order to help that, one has to help a person by helping him to develop good culture, culture of detachment, good habits, and etc. So because it is giving the exactly opposite culture, he is saying that it is a false education. Of course, the other part is like, we have the responsibility to create. Because sometimes people say, one is to condemn modern education, another is to actually create facility for this one. Sometimes, if you only condemn, but if there is no facility, when people don't have alternatives, and then they are left helpless actually in this sense. So one has to create facility for. So next verse. Harir Deha Brutam Atma Swayam Prakriti Rishwaraha Tatpada Moolam Sharanam Yatakshemo Nunamiha.
Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the super soul and guide of all living entities who have accepted material bodies within this world. He is the supreme controller of all material activities in material nature. He is also our best friend, and everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. In doing so, one's life will be auspicious.
So he mentioned the previous verse, the supreme activity is to please the Lord, that which is pleasing to the Lord. So now he is saying, what is the nature of the Supreme Lord? So he explains four characteristics of the nature of the Lord. The first is, Harir Deha Brutam Atma. He is the soul of all beings. Swayam Prakriti Rishwaraha. Swayam Prakriti Rishwaraha means, here it means Vishnu Chakravarti says, he is the mother, Prakriti, and father of all living entities, father of the universe. Mother and father of the universe. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that he is the super soul and guide of all living entities who accepted material bodies within this world. And the third characteristic is Tat Pada Moolam Sharanam. His feet are the shelter for all beings. Everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. And fourth characteristic is that what is the result of that shelter? From those feet arise all auspiciousness. Yatakshemo Nrinam Iha. Yatakshemo Nrinam Iha. See, that's the four characteristics about the nature of the Lord. So next verse. So in the purport, Prabhupada, he talks about, again he continues the theme of actually education. So therefore he gives five quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some from Chaitanya Bhagavat, some from Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gives six quotations to tell what is the best education or the perfection of education. And before that, in the beginning part of the purport, he tells that everyone is being directed by the super soul within the body. Therefore, the better part of the valor is to take his direction and be happy. In order to take his direction, one needs to have two qualifications. Tesham sadhata yuktanam, and second is bhajatam priti purvakam. One should be constantly engaged, and secondly, one should be engaged. So 51st verse. Savai priyatamaschatma yatona bhayamanvapi iti veda savai vidvan yo vidvan sagurur harihi.
One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated, and one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is an actually bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna.
So in this verse he explains what is the result of worshipping that Supreme Lord. Savai Priyatamas Chatma. First he explains that Supreme Lord is Priyatama. He is the most beloved. Though the jiva is also dear, he is the most beloved. And then he explains, the result of worshipping that Lord is, yato na bayam anu api. There is not even a slightest fear or suffering. Yato na bayam anu. Anu api means there is not even a slightest, even a little fear or suffering from worshipping the Lord. And then he says, iti veda savai vidvan. Iti Veda Savai Vidwan. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that one who, Prabhupada explains, one who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. So one who knows this secret about the Supreme Lord, he is actually learned and he can become the guru for the whole world. And then in the fourth line he explains, and how to serve or worship that guru? And that guru, yo vidvan sa gurur harihi. Sa gurur harihi. Sa gurur harihi means that guru should be worshipped like the Supreme Lord. That guru should be worshipped like the Supreme Lord. These are the... So Prabhupada in this purport, he talks about how Guru is identical with the Supreme Lord, Saksha Daritvena Samastha Shastri. And then he explains, the true Guru is Satkarma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharadai avaishnava gurunasya vaishnava shvapacho guruhu. And then he explains that consulting the spiritual master is equivalent to consulting the Supreme Personality of God. And success in life means accepting a spiritual master who knows Krishna as the only Supreme Beloved Personality. So actually with this verse, 51st verse, Narada Muni has actually concluded his preaching. He has concluded his preaching. Now from the 52nd to 55th verse, he is going to tell the second allegorical story. So this is something very interesting. Go ahead. Narada uvacha prashna evam hi sanchinno bhavata purusharshaba atrame vadato guhyam nishamayasu nishchitam.
The great saint Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now hear another narration that is accepted by saintly persons and is very confidential.
So now Narada Muni is saying, now I have answered whatever you have asked. Now you hear another narration which is confidential and sunishchitam, which is perfectly ascertained. So I will just take a 5 minutes break and then we will continue. Savai Priyatamas Chatma. Supreme Lord is the most dear to everyone. Priyatama means superlative deity. Because because of the presence of the soul. And it's like soul is actually, soul is more dear than the body. And then the soul is dear to us because soul is part and parcel of the super soul. So he says ultimately when we like anything in this world, that is because it has to be part and parcel. Nothing can be attracted in this world without being related to Krishna. So that is so to come to that understanding, Krishna is the most dear to a living entity. That is the liberated platform. In the conditional platform, we are either attached people or things or our own body. Point of view, there is no difference. Sometimes Prabhupada translates in a different way. Iti Veda Savai Vidvan. Chakravarti Pa says, one who knows these two Atmas. One who knows, he says that one who knows these two Atmas. You know the two Atmas, Atma and Paramatma. He is actually learning. Prabhupada is saying, telling the same point in another way. He says that one who thus knows a secret is already actually educated. What secret? The super soul is the friend of everyone. And such an educated person can become the spiritual master of the world. Sahaguru. And then he says, Sa Guru Hari, such a spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. He should be worshipped like Krishna. This section. This is a very important section. Prashna evam hi sanchinno bhavatah purusharshaba atrame varato guhyam nishamaya sunishchitam.
The great sage Narada continued, O great personality, I have replied properly about all that you have asked me. Now here another narration that is accepted by a saintly person and it is very confidential.
So in this section, so actually at this point Narada Muni has completed his preaching to Prachina Barishad, and Prachina Barishad at this point, he has also become convinced. You'll see that, you'll express that little later. But what was going on in the mind of Prachina Barishat is that he was thinking that my sons are performing austerities, prachetas, in the forest. So I will send some people to get back the sons and I will give them the kingdom. And then once I make them as the kings, then I will go to the forest and I will take to Krishna consciousness. So he was thinking like that. But Narada Muni did not want him to postpone or procrastinate. He wanted, Narada Muni is wanting Prachina Parishad to immediately to take to Krishna consciousness with full force. He wants him to actually immediately to go to the forest to become a Vanaprastha, to actually perform devotional service instead of waiting for his sons to come. So we can hear what we can see here is a very important lesson from we can see from many angles. So here, if we consider Narada Muni, from one point of view, if we see Prachina Bharat has become a devotee now. So if we have a some devotee who is like a king or a big, very rich person, it is like easy, like we can get so much of donation or something like that. But Narada Muni is actually concerned with the person Prachina Parishad. He is concerned with the person Prachina Parishad. So therefore, he is saying that, no, he wants him to immediately go to the forest. So if we compare Narada Muni with Shukracharya, he apparently spoke some pleasing words to Bali Maharaj that you should not, he gave so many reasons for why you should not give charity to Amanade. But he was not concerned with the person Bali Maharaj, but he was concerned with the wealth of Bali Maharaj. He was thinking, look, what will happen to my Dakshina if he gives everything? But in the case of Narada Muni, he is concerned with the person Prachina Parishad. So he doesn't, although Prachina Parishad has become a devotee, but Narada Muni, he is concerned with the quality of Prachina Parishad's devotion. Like sometimes in our preaching, we may think that, oh, so now he has come to 16 rounds, so my job is done. So you may think, oh, coming, when a person comes to 16 rounds, that means like that's the ultimate pinnacle, or he has become initiated, or my job is done. Like. So, but not, basically the point is, to the extent a person considers pure devotional, to the extent a person values pure devotional service, to that extent a person will not be satisfied even in his preaching unless till the point that the person whom he is preaching to come to that same platform of pure devotional service. Like if our conception of devotee means one is chanting 16 rounds, then we are satisfied, oh, that person has come to 16 rounds, we are satisfied. But if our conception of a devotee means one has taken complete shelter of Krishna, so we will not be satisfied till the person whom we are preaching to has come to that platform. So Narada Muni, he is not simply satisfied, oh, Prachina Muni has become a devotee. He is a nice donor also, he has become a devotee also, my project will run something. He is actually concerned with whether he is taking full shelter of Krishna consciousness. So, you'll see, when in Prabhupada's case also, how Prabhupada, like once, I think Rameshwar Swami was having a conversation with Prabhupada. Rameshwar Swami, I think at the time, Rameshwar Swami or somebody else, I forgot, was having, he was saying to Prabhupada that for devotees to come from abroad every year to Mayapur for so many days, that means, we have to spend so much of money for so many devotees to come every year to Mayapur. And because they are coming to India, so book distribution will stop for so many months, so many days. So we will lose so much of money also, and we have to spend so much of money. So therefore we have decided one devotee will get a chance in once in 2 years or once in 3 years to come to Mayapur. So he was speaking from the point of view of managerial point of view. But Prabhupada said, no, I don't care about that. As many devotees as possible should come every year for the Mayapur and Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada could understand, because these devotees, they are actually distributing books, interacting with so many people throughout the year. And for them to actually, to maintain their Krishna consciousness, unless they come to these holy places and get a sufficient dose of Krishna consciousness, they will not be able to continue their book distribution. So Prabhupada was concerned about their Krishna consciousness, and within that his concern for the mission is also there, because they can continue to distribute books only when they are strong in their Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was concerned about the people than with them from the financial point of view, would want to, like from the project point of view or something. So, and another thing we can see here is that the nature of the conditioned soul is that the conditioned soul always tends to postpone the good things, always tends to postpone the surrender to Krishna. If you say, like, even many devotees they have experienced, when they go for some, one devotee was, when they went for some donation, he said, so next year I will give this much money. And then he went that year, he said, so now I don't have so much. And he just, so they told, they promised that, but then they are postponing, keep on postponing. So our tendency is that when it comes to service to Krishna, we tend to postpone. So that is the nature of the conditioned soul. Like Krishna in the 18th chapter, when he talks about worker in the mode of ignorance, ayukta prakrita stabda shato naishkritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutri cha karta tamasa uchyate. Vishadi dirga sutri means a worker in the mode of goodness is always procrastinating, always postpones. So on the other hand, if you see a sincere devotee, he never wants to postpone. And Vibhishan came to surrender to Lord Ram. Vibhishan, when he met Sugriva, he said that, please go and tell immediately to Lord Ram that I have come to surrender. Do not delay even a moment. Because right now I have the inspiration to surrender, and I do not know how long this inspiration, this spark of inspiration will last. So before that spark gets extinguished, I want to surrender, therefore go and tell immediately. So he didn't want to postpone it. So we have to know that the inspiration to perform devotional service is actually very rare. So one has to carefully protect that inspiration, and one has to fan that inspiration to a blazing fire. So in the case of a pure devotee, it is already a blazing fire. But in the case of us, it is like a small spark, so one has to immediately act it, one has to carefully protect it. So that the typical example of one who procrastinated, who is that example? Kailash. He actually kept on procrastinating. So here also Prachina Parishad, he also wanted to procrastinate, he wanted to wait till his sons actually arrived. But Narada Muni wanted him to go immediately. And as I mentioned, the previous point which I was talking about, so Narada Muni was concerned about the quality of his preaching. So Prabhupada, he writes a very brilliant purport here. He says that the king was contemplating sending for his sons, and after the return he would entrust the kingdom to them and then leave home. This is the position of most people. They accept a bona fide spiritual master and listen to him, but when the spiritual master indicates that they should leave home and fully engage in devotional service, they hesitate. The duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that this materialistic way of life is not at all beneficial. So you can see, like in one level, like in one say, spiritual master means one may say that, oh, it is just such an easy job, just giving, keep giving lectures. One devotee came to Vrindavan and then he told, I want to render some service. So then he was sent to the temple commander and asked that. The temple commander asked him, so what service do you want to render? He said, I want to render that service of that person who is sitting and giving the class. So sometimes the person thinks that, the guru's duty is something so simple, just keep speaking. But actually, if you see, from this statement, we can understand, you can imagine how difficult, like, how much patience a person has, a spiritual master has to have, and how much he has to keep on actually instructing till the point a person comes to till the point a person does not come to the understanding that the materialistic way of life is not at all beneficial, and till the point a person takes complete shelter of Krishna. That means, like, till the person's consciousness is completely transformed, when he becomes completely Krishna conscious, like many other services may deal with, may be dealing with gross objects. Of course, we have to perform in bright consciousness, but it is in terms of, okay, so much of transportation is done. We are mostly dealing with the gross things, so this service is done, we can say. We made this much quantity of prasadam, or we did this much, I have typed this one. So, in terms of dealing with the gross objects, but the guru's duty is that his service is actually, he is dealing with the subtlest object, that is the consciousness of a person. So till the consciousness becomes completely transformed, he has to continue to actually instruct that person. So that means how much patience a person has to have. So if we see just this emphasis, like from this we can understand how Narada Muni was interested in the quality of his preaching and not just the quantity. So Prabhupada also would say that better one moon than thousands of suns, and better thousands of moons than one moon, but the focus is always the moon. Better thousands of moons than one moon, but the focus is, our ultimate goal is moon and not the stars. Sorry, one moon than thousands of stars, and better thousands of moons than one star. Thousands of moons than one moon. So I will just read one letter of Prabhupada, in which actually we can understand Prabhupada's emphasis on quality of preaching. So Shivaram Maharaj, he mentions in his book that Prabhupada wanted to see his followers increase in both quality and quantity, but in that order. Both quality and quantity, but the order is that first quality and then quantity. Whenever Srila Prabhupada saw quality being sacrificed for quantity, he instructed his disciples to boil the milk. That is, to concentrate on solidifying the Krishna consciousness of the devotees already present in the movement. So, this letter you will see, Prabhupada is saying, so I want you leaders especially to become very much absorbed in the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and become yourselves completely convinced and free from all doubt. When you become convinced and free from all doubt, on this platform, you shall be able to carry on the work satisfactorily. But if there is a lack of knowledge, or if there is forgetfulness, everything will be spoiled in time. So especially you must encourage the students to read our books throughout the day as much as possible, and give them all good advice and inspire them to study the things from every point of view. So then he says, now we have got so many students and so many temples, but I am fearful that if we expand too much in this way, we shall become weakened and gradually the whole thing will become lost. So just like milk, we may thin it more and more with water for cheating the customer, but in the end it will cease to be any longer milk. Better to boil the milk now very vigorously and make it thick and sweet, and that is the best process. So therefore he is saying, let us concentrate on training our devotees very thoroughly in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness from our books. So so we see that another statement, another time Prabhupada mentioned, don't make me Alexander the Great. I don't want to simply increase the numbers and then they keep on looping or something. So another, I was reading a beautiful point, it's related to this, that Shivaram Maharaj was explaining that ninth offense of the holy name is to instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name. But he says the other part of the offense is that not giving instructions about the glories of the holy name to the faithful. So what does it mean? That means those who are actually, when somebody new people, you don't speak about the glories of the holy name. And but there are people who are already practicing, who are serious. And if you are not giving sufficient time to train them, to make them more serious, to give a sound foundation, that is also in one sense, he says that that is also a duty of a guru. If a guru actually fails to do that, he is committing a mistake. Like guru who collect disciples but fail in their duty to train them are offenders to both the holy name and the discipling succession. So that means giving that emphasis to quality, that is also important. So another important point, so here Narada Muni is trying to say, tell Prachina Parishad to get out of his comfort zone, to go out of the palace and go to the forest. So Srinivas Radhanath Samayana Maharaj was explaining that bhakti begins when a person goes out of the comfort zone. So if we see, in the case of going out of the comfort zone means it will differ from person to person. For a Prachina Parishad it meant actually going out of the palace and going to the forest. And for Narada Muni, he was attached to the peaceful atmosphere in the forest. For him, going out of the comfort zone means interacting with people and preaching to different people. And because Narada Muni, he went out of his comfort zone, because the Lord told him that you are not yet fully mature in your bhakti. So because he went out of his comfort zone, so he had the authority to actually to say to Prachina Parishad, because he himself had practiced that. And because he had the purity of that practice, when he said that, it actually had effect on Prachina Parishad, and Prachina Parishad actually went out of the comfort zone, and he left for the forest, even though his sons had not returned. So here we can see that Narada Muni, because he is a devotee who feels the urgent need for Krishna consciousness, he is actually trying to give that same urgency to Prachina Parishad. So one who has that urgency, he can actually impart that urgency. So we'll go to the next. So now I'll just summarize few verses so that we can go a little fast. So in the 53rd verse, Narada Muni gives the second allegorical story. So in this verse, what Narada Muni is saying is that search out for the deer. There is a deer in the forest which is absorbed in the association with its partner, and it is trying to eat the insignificant grasses which gives some insignificant pleasure. And the deer is absorbed in the sweet sound of the bumblebees. And the deer is completely unaware of the fact that in the front side there is a tiger which is waiting to attack the deer. And the deer is completely unaware of the fact that in the back side there is a hunter who is waiting to shoot the deer. So he is trying to tell this allegorical story. So this deer's death is imminent. So in the 53rd verse he gives the allegory, and the 54th and the 55th verse he explains the allegory. He explains the allegory. So here, the 54th verse, he says, so the deer was attached to the its partner. So you can read the translation of the 54th verse.
My dear king, woman who is very attractive.
54.
My dear king, woman who is very attractive in the beginning but in the end very disturbing is exactly like the flower, which is attractive in the beginning and detestable at the end. With woman, the living entity is entangled with lusty desires and he enjoys sex just as one enjoys the aroma of a flower. He thus enjoys a life of sense gratification from his tongue to his genitals, and in this way the living entity considers himself very happy in family life. United with his wife, he always remains absorbed in such thoughts. He feels great pleasure in hearing the talks of his wife and children, which are like the sweet humming of the bumblebees that collect honey from flower to flower. He forgets that before him is time, which is taking away his lifespan with the passing of day and night. He does not see the gradual diminishing of his life, nor does he care about the superintendent of death, who is trying to kill him from behind. Just try to understand this. You are in a precarious position and are threatened from all sides.
So this is, he explains his analogy. So here he says that the deer is absorbed and enjoying with its mate. So he says women is very attractive in the beginning. So what the each of the character in this allegory or each of the event Narada Muni is explaining here. So here he says women is attractive in the beginning but in the end very disturbing, like exactly like a flower which becomes detestable at the end. So Prabhupada explains in the grihastha ashram the forgetfulness of Krishna is especially enhanced in the grihastha ashram. In the grihastha ashram, a young man accepts a young wife who is very beautiful in the beginning, but in due course of time, after giving birth to many children and becoming older and older, she demands many things from the husband to maintain the entire family. At such a time, the wife becomes detestable to the very man who accepted her in her younger days. So yes, actually, if we try to appreciate the system established by Krishna, the incompatible nature of the material world, listen, initially, I think last week we were discussing about that. In the case of, when we mentioned that the woman is actually 9 times more lustier than the man. In the case of a man, he is actually only interested in one pleasure of sex pleasure. But in the case of women, her attraction is diverted to so many things. And initially, she may want children, but after some years, she just wanting house, ornaments and so many things. So one devotee was, I think, some years back, he was there, he was almost 90 years or 94 years. He just came and told one devotee, I am 90 years old, but my wife was still telling to give me some golden ornament, and I have to buy one golden ornament to that wife. So that means, I'm saying that, how the incompatible nature, in order to satisfy that sex pleasure, one has to work so much hard in order to satisfy all the demands of the wife. So therefore, the same wife who appeared pleasing in the initial days becomes detestable at the later days. So Prabhupada says that a person becomes attached to grihastha ashram only for two reasons, for eating and for genitals, for the sex pleasure. The talks of the wife, which are enjoyed as family recreation, and the talks of the children, both attract the living entity. He thus forgets that he has to die someday and has to prepare for the next life. So this deer is absorbed in enjoying insignificant grass and he is actually completely oblivious to the fact that tiger is going to attack him from the front. The tiger represents how the time is passing day after day, and the hunter represents how the death is actually death can attack any time. So in this way, everyone is surrounded with such a family life which misleads one. In this way, the living entity forgets that he has to return home back to garden. So that is why, in the way, according to the Vedic conception, grahastha ashram is like a detour. So when you are going to a particular place, so you take a detour. But once you take a detour, again you have to come back to the main road. It is not that you simply remain in the detour and go to in the some other direction. So in the same way, from Brahmacharya ashram, a person takes a detour and goes to grahastha ashram, and again one has to come back to the Vanaprastha and Sannyas, like that. So Anand Vrindavan was explaining that. Of course, he was saying that Solness Radhana Swami Maharaj told him that ideal grahastha ashram, ideal grahastha is that person who has planned his Vanaprastha ashram before actually entering the grahastha ashram. Mm-hmm. Speaking from an idealistic point of view, but just informing what is there. So then the later part of the purport, Prabhupada explains that according to the Vedic civilization, one has to give up family at a certain stage and take vanaprastha and eventually remain alone as a sannyasi. When one takes sannyasa after enjoying family life, he pleases the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He pleases the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So then he says that this is called real intelligence. So then the last of the paragraph. According to Vedic civilization, it is imperative to give up the family life at a certain stage by force if necessary. By force if necessary. So that is what actually in one sense Vidura did. It's not something wrong, although he was forceful. So unfortunately, so-called followers of Vedic life do not give up the family life even at the end of life unless they are forced by death. There should be a thorough overhauling of the social system and society should revert to the Vedic principles, and that is the four varnas and the four ashramas. So actually, especially when we read like these Prabhupada's purports, like watching some suspense movie with a person who has already watched that movie. Person goes to the suspense movie in order to get some thrill in his life, and he is watching with that person, and he has already watched the movie and he is giving commentary. So now the next scene, this is going to come. He is actually the murderer. He is this one. So then you lose the thrill only. So similarly, when a person reads these purports of Prabhupada, then without this knowledge, a person is having some thrill in his life, like when he's trying to enjoy material sense gratification, or maybe I'm going to get this happiness. He's excited about newer and newer sense gratification. But when we read Prabhupada's purports, one completely loses all the thrill because he's telling what is going to come at the end almost in every purport. So, 55th verse. Sattvam vichakshya mrugat. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. One devotee had spoken in a lecture about Kardamani planning for sannyas even before entering into family life. So that was actually very much unappreciated by some grihasthas. They say, you know, how can you say such a thing that he is contemplating on sannyas before marriage? You know, these kind of things are brahmachari stuff. You know, we should not speak such things. You know, we should actually encourage and appreciate grihasthas to lead a very happy family life. In my honesty, in my observation, in the recent past, the trend in our society is, you know, there are so many parenting seminars and so many husband-wife seminars. And there's a lot of encouragement given for material care. You know, it's likely that our movement must have started with a boom, you know. With the fanaticism in Prabhupada's times of total neglect, you know, husband not caring for the wife, calling her Maya, and you know, husband and wife leaving child in Gurukula and going away. It's true. But the response to such fanaticism is not what we are seeing now. What we are seeing now is another extreme. You know, where we are finding that there is so much talk about the material side of the family life. When we read this kind of purports, I really doubt how many family people go through this purports. Books are beautifully lying in the cupboard. You know, but if this kind of purports, if you even read out in a Bhagavatam class, people will be twisting their eyebrows. Further. Because Draupadi is very straightforward. And I feel because of this kind of knowledge not sufficiently spoken, now we don't have many examples of people above 50, you know, taking to Vanaprastha. We don't see. Do you see many coming up? His Holiness Jayadas Maharaj was speaking about, you know, where is that Vanaprastha ashram? It is only in air. It's not happening because people cross 50, then 60, then 70, and 80, and 90, and most people die as family people only. And also some people take up new businesses after 60 also. So my question was, you talked about the boiling of the milk in this for this particular verse, you gave many nice examples in there. So sometimes when I see, you know, these things remain theory. You know, they don't come into action. Do you see any initiatives taken in this direction, Prabhu? About this kind of Akhir Prabhupada says very strong purpose. Actually people say that, you know, times have changed and the world is changing and, you know, we should be very sensitive about these things. In fact, I have observed one thing. When people give lectures on Bhagavatam lectures, most people don't stick to purport only. You know, they read the verse, read the purport, which most people don't hear well, you know, after which they go in some other direction. These are all purpose. Purpose given there. You know, what do you call it? Fact is a fact. We can't hide the fact. At least, I used to always feel from my understanding that there should be some grihasthas who live by this, who exemplify it, and then when they speak it, you know, then it would be very powerful. Because if Brahmachari speak it, no, you can speak here, which is very wonderful. But if we speak in a temple, people would say, hey, you people want to detach us from family. You know, why are you so upset with my being with my wife? You want to get detach us, they may say, right? But anywhere in the world, you have seen some initiatives taken in that direction.
At least I have not heard any. In fact, one devotee was mentioning that there are many devotees who actually prepare for the retired life by saving lot of money so that after some years, after 50 years, they don't have to work anymore. And he was saying, but most of these devotees, they have made sufficient savings and they don't have to work anymore. But they are not able to stop working because they feel that, oh, if we stop working, then what will I do whole day? What will maybe engagement be? Because they have just put so much of energy for only on the material side of saving, and simultaneously they have not cultivated Krishna consciousness properly in terms of giving proper hearing and chanting. And after 50 years they end up again taking more jobs and they end up continuing to do those things. So in one sense it is true, in the sense, like there has to be there has to be knowledge and there has to be personal example and there should be facility for following that knowledge. So then, when all three are there, then it is actually possible someday. Like Prabhupada's books give the knowledge and there should be, in one sense, we should encourage by giving facilities for those who want to become Vanaprastha Ashram. We have created facilities, they can come and stay here, something like that. Facilities should be there. And third is that, you want to adopt that facility, they should have some examples who can actually inspire them. So at the most, we can do only these three things. We can give the right instructions, can create facilities, and we have to give examples. And beyond that, if a person does not take, then it is up to them. But in our situation, this thing, as far as possible, we just try to.
Prabhuji,
I have few doubts about Vanaprastha Ashram. Like, can a person stay, like, does he have to stay in a holy place to follow Vanaprastha Ashram, or can he stay in a city like Mumbai and and what exactly?
Yeah, in the sense, the essence of Vanaprastha Ashram is that to spend more and more time in Krishna consciousness. Like, as Prabhupada explained in the previous purports also, in the Vanaprastha, like in that Vaidarbhi in Malayadvaja, the ideal Vanaprastha life is, the husband and wife may stay together, but they are just, there is no, they're only focused on serving Krishna. The Vaidarbhi was serving the husband. So, ideal situation, previously people used to go to holy places or this one, but one may stay in the temple, or one should take up more and more preaching engagement. The number of chanting should definitely increase to maybe 32 rounds or something like that. One should make the commitment. So every day one should read maybe 2-3 hours of Bhagavatam and should take up more and more preaching. And in one sense I would say, like, these are the, take up more and more services. That is the, like, at least, because many times if you are not developed the proper attitude of hearing and chanting, then I cannot chant more than 16 rounds, I cannot do more than, you have not developed that habit of reading, and suddenly after 50 years, suddenly to develop that, it's also difficult. So there should be, along with the saving, one should also try to give that importance. Right? So at least you would say in Kali Yuga means, at least minimum 32 rounds, maybe more than that, one should chant, and reading Bhagavatam more, and preaching more. So, in that way, whatever helps us to spend maximum time and engage in Prabhupada's mission to absorb in Krishna, it could be in a holy place or it could be even in a city temple. So I will just go a little more verses and take up. So I will just take little more verses and then 55th verse. Sattvam vichakshya mruga cheshtitam atmanontas chittam niyachya hridikarna dunim cha chitte jakyanganashramam asattam ayuta gatam preenihi hamsa sharanam viramakramena.
My dear king, just try to understand the allegorical position of the deer. Be fully conscious of yourself and give up the pleasure of hearing about promotion to heavenly planets by fruitive activity. Give up household life, which is full of sex, as well as stories about such things, and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the liberated souls. In this way, please give up your attraction for material existence.
See, in this verse, he is giving a more clearer instruction, clearer explanation of the same, this one. Yeah, he is saying that give up household life which is full of sex as well as stories about such things. We see asattama yuta gatam. Asattama yuta gata means full of stories of men and women. And he is saying, just try to understand sattvam vichakshya mruga cheshtitam. Just try to understand the position of this deer. Chittam niyachya hridi karna dunim cha chitte. Reflecting on the actions of the deer, chittam niyachya, fix your mind, hridi karna dunim cha chitte, hridi karna dunim, fix your mind within yourself in the heart. Hridi karna dunim cha chitte means, understand the futility of the attractive results of karma. Karna dunim, karna dunim cha chitte means, fix your mind within yourself heart and understand the futility of the temporary nature of this karmakanda sacrifices. And then he says, jahi angana ashramam. Jahi means give up the angana ashramam. Angana ashramam means give up the householder life. And what is the nature of the householder life? Asattama. Asattama is the most abominable. Yuta gatam, full of stories of men and women. And then after giving up, what one should do? Preenihi. Preenihi means just accept the hamsa sharanam, the shelter of the liberated souls. And viramakramena, gradually become detached. See, in one sense, we can see, so I'll just come to that point, but I'll first go through this purport. Here also Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport here. First he quotes Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan, karma kanda keva, jnana kanda kevala vishera bandh. This statement comes, especially in this section, Prabhupada has quoted many times. So karma kanda and jnana kanda, they are parts of poison. So if we say, they are parts of poison, amrita boliya eva kaya. Whoever drinks them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard life after life. And such a person eats nana yoni siddhafire kadariya bhakshana kare. He eats all kinds of different foodstuffs and he becomes condemned by so-called activities of sense enjoyment. So then he says, the next paragraph, he says, what is actually a grihastha ashram? Prabhupada gives a definition. The great sage Narada Muni clearly instructs not to remain his entire life in the grihastha ashram. He says, being in the grihastha ashram means being under the control of one's wife. One has to give up all this and put himself into the ashram of the Paramahamsa. That is, put himself under the control of the spiritual spiritual master. And then he explained the symptoms of a bona fide spiritual master. That is, tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyashu shreya uttama. And then the next paragraph, again he comes to the point of to take shelter of the Paramahamsa. If one takes shelter of the Paramahamsa, gradually through training and instruction, he will become detached from worldly life and ultimately return home back to God. And then he explains the word anganashramam asattama yuta gatam. The whole world is in the clutches of maya, being controlled by women. And no one is, not only is one controlled by women, but one is also controlled by so many sex literatures. And one cannot give up on one's own effort. Only by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, a Paramahamsa, one will gradually be elevated to the platform of spiritual life. And then he explains that for whom karma kanda is meant for. It is meant for those who are less intelligent or mayaya apakrita jnana. So then in the next page, Prabhupada elaborates on the word hamsa sharanam. Hamsa sharanam means, literally it means that Narada Muni is telling that go to a forest and accept a simple cottage and live as a vanaprastha. Hamsa sharanam. Generally a saintly person lives in a remote place in the forest or in a humble cottage. But what is the principle for Kali Yuga? So Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, if a sannyasi lives in a cottage in the forest, then he will not be able to preach to somebody. So therefore in Kali Yuga, a sannyasi has to create many facilities where people can come and sannyasi can actually preach to the such people. Then he says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, therefore he introduced even motor cars and palatial buildings just for preaching. So therefore the main point is that one has to associate with a saintly person. So for that one can make many arrangements. One has associated with a saintly person. And he says, the nature of Kali Yuga is that, like in the previous yugas, people would go searching for a saintly person. Like Prahlad Maharaj went after looking for a saintly person. But the nature of Kali Yuga is, nobody is looking for a saintly person, so we have to go after people. So if his journey home book, that is an example of like, one who went after, one who was looking for God. But here we have to go and look for people. So that is the nature of Kali Yuga. And so therefore we have to make such arrangements to receive the people in general. And then Prabhupada explains, gradually such persons will learn that palatial buildings or comfortable apartments are not at all necessary. The real necessity is to become free from material bondage in whatever way possible. Then finally he quotes this verse of Yukta Vairagya Anasaktasya Vishaya Yatarham Upayunjata. That was. So so if you see, just one more point I wanted to mention. So Narada Muni, in one sense, is telling to Prachina Parishad to not even to wait till his sons come. He has told this allegorical story so that he can immediately go out. But at the same time, if you see the last line of this verse, Virama Kramena means gradually become detached. So in that sense, if you see, there has to be a combined, like when a person has to become detached, there has to be sudden this thing. One has to suddenly cut up, that is there. But at the same time, the elevation also happens gradually. So it's a combination of suddenly cutting up, at the same time gradually becoming detached. So that is what, even in Krishna consciousness, there is a combination of eagerness and patience. In order to gradually become detached, you have to have patience, you have to gradually. At the same time, Narada Muni is also mentioning you must immediately go. Means he is also giving the urgency, and he is also telling that that you will become, once you go to the forest and accept the Paramahamsa ashram, then you gradually progress, gradually become detached. So this combination of urgency and eagerness, both are there. So now Prachina Parishad is asking, he is actually expressing his gratitude. We'll just go through few verses and then we'll end. Raja Uvacha Shrutam Anvikshitam Brahman Bhagavan Yat Abhashata Naitat Janant Upadhyaya Kimna Bruyur Vidhuryadi.
The king replied, "My dear Brahmana, whatever you have said, I have heard with great attention. And considering all of it, I have come to the conclusion that the acharyas, teachers who engaged me in the fruitive activity, did not know this confidential knowledge. If they were aware of it, why did they not explain it to me?"
So now here, Prachina Parishad is actually appreciating. He is saying that Shrutam means I have heard all your instructions, and Anvikshitam means, Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, I have heard, and Anu Ikshitam, I have later seen those instructions, I have considered them, and I also absorbed your instructions. So he is saying that I not only heard, but I reflected upon your instructions, I have assimilated your instructions. And then he is saying, and then after that, what is his conclusion? Naitat Jananti Upadhyaya Kimna Bruyur Vidhuryati. He is saying that my previous teachers do not know anything what you had spoken. If they had known, then they would have told me. Why did they not tell me? So in this way, he is actually expressing his gratitude. So therefore, from today, you are my guru. Because my previous teacher did not tell me, from today, you are my guru. So we will just go through this purport and end. So Prabhupada says that the real knowledge means searching out Krishna. So thus Krishna is the origin and beginning of all demigods. He explains that. And then he says, so now the king has decided to reject the so-called priestly orders. Not being aware of the real goal of life, the priestly orders simply keep the congregation in ignorance. Because they perform the rituals, but they don't actually tell the meaning of the rituals. So many intelligent people, therefore, they think that, oh, these rituals are not at all needed. But we don't know what is the meaning of these rituals. Just finish the marriage in half an hour. Like, previously it used to be for so many days, like that. But priests were not explaining the meaning of the rituals. So intelligent people are not interested in the rituals. And they are not benefited by the real knowledge. At first, many times in ISKCON temple, when the devotees, when they perform the marriage, if you had known, but they explained the mantra. So now we are chanting this mantra, this is the meaning behind this. So then actually people understand, oh, this is the meaning behind this mantra, this is the meaning behind this ritual. So, and then Prabhupada says that following the footsteps of Maharaj Barikshman, everyone should take advantage of this Krishna conscious movement and abandon the stereotyped ritualistic ceremonies that go under the garb of so many religions. And then he compares the priestly class with the Goswamis. The priestly class are interested in only this dry, lifeless rituals. But the Goswamis have given a process which is actually full of life. He says Sanatan Goswami has therefore written Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. So Karmakanda rituals are actually lifeless. Like one procession in South India, one devotee was mentioning. They had a procession of the deities. It was only a short procession, but people became tired in a short way. Because there was no kirtan in the procession. Like sometimes we have long kirtan, but people still continue to dance because there is life in this process. But the rituals, because there is no life, people feel bored in a short time. So the Vaishnavas, not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly classes, take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. So I'll actually stop here because it's already 1 o'clock, and I wanted to finish the actually Gaurang Darshan told me to finish the whole chapter. No, at least I wanted to finish till 775 page, but we couldn't do that also. So we'll stop here. Vantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai.